Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So really excited to be having our brother Marius, you know, bring the word. And I just want to say a couple of things about Marius before he gets into the word this morning. You know, Marius has been a pillar in this place, you know, in Every Nation, Brisbane. You know, he is someone who's been steadfast, who has been, you know, he's been here building. And what I like about Marius is that he you know, building, you know, he's dressed for the occasion. you know, what I like about Marius is that, you know, when he was coming to Silverbacks, he's going to come back again. Ray, he said he's coming back. So he's coming back again. But nah, the way this guy builds with people, the way, when he comes to Silverbacks, he's like goes to the usually to people that are sitting by themselves. He will intentionally pick out people that are, you know, that maybe not necessarily engaging with the rest of the group, and he'll go and talk to that person. He'll go and sit down and have a chat to them. And, you know, that's what I like about Marius. He's real intentional about building with people. You know, he'll go out of his way. And it may be uncomfortable to him, or, you know, and you may see that, oh, that person may not, but he just goes. He just goes. And he just goes and has a conversation with them. And, you know, for me, that's a person who, like, for me, that's a person who understands the Great Commission. You know, we're called to go. You know, don't just go to your own people, but go to people, you know, and meet with them and talk with them. And so, Marius, I'm excited to what, you know, you're going to encourage us with this morning. And so, yeah, let's get to it, eh, bro.
Cool. Thanks so much, Pastor Henry. Good morning, everyone. I'm Marius. Yeah, it's cool because, like, I know everyone, so I'm really not that scared. Cool. So, before anything else, like everyone to please stand up in reverence for the reading of God's Word. So, you can find me today in Matthew chapter 7. We'll be reading from verses 24 to 28. So, this is Jesus talking. Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to everyone around here, but also including me, Lord Jesus Christ, as we understand that your word is a living, breathing thing, Lord Jesus, that talks to us directly. So right now, I just pray for an open heaven so that your truth and your love, Lord Jesus Christ, will go down into the people right now. And may I also pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for open hearts and open minds so that your seed may be planted and it may be watered, Lord Jesus Christ, by your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Cool. Please be seated. Yay. All right. So this is our word for today, but like you'll probably be asking, like, who's this guy? You probably not because you know me, but like because it's part of my slides, I'm going to put it in. So who am I? I am an OFW. Nobody knows what that is except for the Filipinos. Okay, OFW is O for overseas, F Filipino, and praise the Lord, W is worker. I am not a student anymore, and that is a testament in itself. Yes, thank you so much. For everyone who's known me, I've been here for like 8 years now on student visa. But that's me right there, man. I'm a worker. Yes. Nice. Thank you. Yeah, but apart from that, who am I really? Why am I here in Australia? Well, because of these guys. That's me. That's my family. Yeah. So you can already see, like, even if I'm small here, in contrast to my family, I'm a giant. So, Yeah, I guess that says a lot about the East Asian culture. Anyway, that's my sister beside me, and that's my another sister who's the eldest, and that's my niece. She's 14 now, or 16. Somewhere there, COVID has changed my time, man. And that's my mom and my dad, and that's my brother-in-law, married to my sister, who's like beside me. He's Irish, obviously, he's not Filipino. So, I put this picture here because, just to give you also background, in Asian cultures, there are only three things for Asian parents that their children have to be. It's either a lawyer, a doctor, or an engineer. Or, yeah, nah, nurse, okay, yeah, just what is it? It's in the doctor area field. But yeah, I know, I understand because, okay, I'll go to that later, okay? Chill, guys. You see the pillows there? So yeah, 2015, sorry. I went to Australia because my mom and my dad wanted me to further my education. And back in the Philippines, I was a graphic designer, so I worked for IT companies. But they were like, yeah, no, I think it's better if you're like designing bigger structures, like real tangible things. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'm just going to go to Australia then and study engineering. And so I went here, 2015, and you have to understand something about me, guys. I was brought up questioning everything because I grew up in a very religious school. I'm just going to put it as religious. It's like a blanket statement. And I was questioning everything because I'm like, yeah, you're teaching this, but you're doing this. What's up, man? So that's when I started asking stuff. When I got here, I was a very broken man. I was asking everything like, okay, yeah, you Christians, you're going to say these things and you're going to do something else. I was like very skeptic. I was a skeptic, yeah. And then on December 24, so Filipinos have this thing like on the midnight of the 24th of December, we have a feast. And that feast is called Noche Buena. And on Noche Buena, I was invited by some Christians to go to their place. Well, actually, no, they invited my sister because they wanted her saved. But, well, you got me, so I guess, yeah. And then I met Pastor Nelly. And Pastor Nelly was a very intelligible guy. He made sense. His prayers made sense. In fact, look, guys, his prayer said, like, Lord Jesus Christ, we know that this is not the day that you were born, but we celebrate it. And I'm like, no Christian says that. So I was intrigued. Because I was asking questions, I wanted to know more. I wanted to know, okay, where's this guy coming from? So I started, yeah, going to church. And on 2016, I was already going to church. I was loving the word. I was like, yeah, this makes sense. And then I received a call from the Philippines, and they're like, hey, your mom's got cancer. I'm like, oh. So I flew back on May 2016. And because I was already a Christian, quote unquote, because I knew everything, but I still had that worldly mindset of transactions, okay? So my prayer was, Lord, save my mom, and I will follow you. Yeah. On the 18th of May, my mother passed away. I was in the ICU with her. Her body was cold. I was holding her hand. But something amazing happened. Even if the ICU was intensive care unit, guys, it's like cold there, cold. But I felt warm. And that's when I knew, okay, God, you took my mom, but you're still here with me. Why? And because of that why question, I still kept on like going and learning more about him. So yeah, because of that, every single day, I went to the Word and asked more why. Why is it like this? And then my knowledge grew. And those places where I asked him and like looked for him, I call those sacred. Okay, that was a good segue, man. Sacred space. Yes. So guys, what is sacred space? Okay, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about the sacred space. Last week, Pastor Henry talked about solitude. And solitude is like when you're not necessarily alone, like away from people, but you're intentionally being alone so that you can hear from God. Okay. Before that, we also had like slowing down, same by Pastor Henry. And before that was also bearing fruits for fruitfulness. So that's, this is what the sacred space is about. But right now, I'm going to be talking about the sacred stormproofing. Yes. Does anybody know what stormproofing is? I mean, you've been in this church before, you probably already know, but just give me a quick definition what a stormproofing is. Anyone? This is not a trick question. Yes. Preparing for the storm. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. That's correct. Both of them are correct. I searched Wikipedia. What is stormproofing? It actually doesn't exist. But what exists is that's the closest thing that I got. Hey, storms are water, man. It's waterproofing. Waterproofing, according to Wikipedia, guys, if you're researching, don't just go to Wikipedia, by the way, but but I trust this. The process of making an object or structure waterproof or water resistant, it remains relatively unaffected by water or resisting the ingress of water under specified conditions. We don't have a word for stormproofing, but we do have a word for waterproofing. And I guess the reason for that is like because of this verse. See, the verse that I read earlier was about a storm. And then Jesus inviting us to a place where we can have a good foundation, which is Him, on a rock, so that we may be stormproof. And if you go back to the definition of waterproofing, take away the water and then change that to storm, it means that we are resisting storms. You see, one thing that I learned in my earlier days walking as a Christian is like, so when I become a Christian, does that mean like the bad things go away? No, it does not. It really does not go away. So the promise of Christianity is, yes, there will be storms, but we will be able to resist it. So that's from Matthew. I think it's pretty straightforward what he says, like Jesus inviting us, hey, build your foundation on me and do what I say, and your foundation will be strong and you will not fall and stuff like that. But let's talk about Matthew first. Why is it important that we should talk about Matthew? Because we have to have that good foundation of what everything is happening here right now. Matthew is amazing, man. Matthew is a very, very Jewish person. Like, his target audience was Jewish people. You can see from this, the gospel according to Matthew, and the first thing that you see is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The Jewish people were very, very intent on that. Like, they wanted to know where this person comes from. Because the genealogy, you're the son of, you're the father, your father, your father's father, your father's father's father, all are your foundations. And that's cool, because that's what Matthew does. And it's more than that, really. When I say that he's very Jewish, like he's very into the Old Testament, he starts with the genealogy. And then every single verse there, that's Matthew, is a cross-reference and a direct reference to an Old Testament. Like Matthew 1:23 is word per word, man, Isaiah 7:14. Everything there. And then I got tired of typing, but there are about 65 references. Trust me on this. If you don't trust me, which is good, don't trust me, you can also read for yourself all of those references, starting with those guys. It's all word per word. But you're gonna be asking me like, yeah, but what's the point? Why would he be referencing all of that? Because you have to understand, guys, Old Testament, then there was a silent time. In the Old Testament, God was speaking to people like one-to-one. Like, there was the holiest of holies, where if people go there and they're not holy, they dead. That's why they have like ankle straps. Because like if they feel like, okay, he's not moving anymore, yeah, he was a sinful guy, probably dead now, and they pull the body out. But there was a 300-year silence. And I think that's like the reason why even if you look at the Bible right now, after the Old Testament, the first New Testament book that you read is actually Matthew. Because it's a reminder for people, look, we are from the Old Testament, and we acknowledge the Old Testament, and we know that the Old Testament is real. At the same time, like, this is a reminder that it is real. See, in the same book, guys, this is what Jesus said in that same book. I did not come here to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. What does he fulfill? Old Testament. Old Testaments are the promises of Jesus Christ. And who among here is happy that we are actually in a time where the promises have been realized through Jesus Christ? I mean, imagine, guys, when you were in Old Testament and the only thing that you hear is promises, but nothing's coming up. And now we're here. We know that the promises that they did promise them walked with us. And it still is walking with us and is still interceding for us. And that's Jesus Christ. That's Matthew. But the cool thing about that Matthew thing, though, the verse that I read, a quick story. In Matthew, the first two chapters of that book is just him proving to Jewish, hey, look, hey, this is, Jesus Christ is the real thing. He's the prophecy made flesh. And on the third book, he talks about the baptism of Jesus Christ, okay? And that's where the first sentence of Jesus Christ was said, stuff like that. And on the fourth book was his starting ministry and his temptation, 5, 6. Yeah, so that's it. Really quick, I'm sorry. I don't have time to unpack that. But the point is, on where we got the verses, it's actually a part of a very, very big sermon that they call the Sermon at the Mount. That was the first sermon that Matthew has written down on his book. And it talks about a lot of stuff, man. Okay, here's just the thing. Okay, the Sermon at the Mount starts with the Beatitudes. If anyone's familiar, Beatitudes is like the, blessed are the, help me. Anyone? Blessed are the poor for they will be rich or something like that. Yes. Yes. You can read that, guys, in your free time. Then it goes to the salt and light and fulfilling the law, again, referencing to the Old Testament and everything like that. So it's basically a very, very long sermon about a lot of stuff. It's really good. You should read that. But the tail end of that is the verse that we just read. Like, imagine, like everything that he says, and then he ends with this statement. Everyone who hears these words of mine, it was a long sermon, will be like a wise man. And everyone who does not do it will be like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. Great was his fall and stuff like that. So then you're asking me, okay, so these are two things. There will be people who would assume that, okay, we hear the word of God and we do the good things that he's telling us to do, right? But what about the people who do things who are good, who didn't hear about, because that's two things, hear the word and then does them. I have two verses here, hears and does. I'm going to do the geeky thing of like having the original word. So here is that word, yes, and it means comprehend by hearing. And I'm going to draw your attention to the part there that says comprehend by hearing. We don't have the youth here, so I guess I'm just going to talk about this because it also happens to us adults. You know, when times when someone's talking to us and it goes into our left ear and then exits the right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyone does that? It's really difficult for me because I only have one ear. But yeah. But that happens though. So it's comprehend. So it's understanding exactly what's happening. And then poe is to do, to act, and to cause. So what if you separate both of them? What if it's just hearing? Or what if it's just doing? Well, there are two verses for that. Well, this is Jesus again, in a place before like, he said those things. He said, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven because the one who does the will of my Father, But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of law. This is the scariest, for me, this is the scariest verse in the entire Bible. Dude, you're putting your entire life on doing things that God, you see, you understand, or what the world thinks is the good thing to do. And then you're face to face with Jesus and he tells me like, yeah, but I never knew you though. That's scary. So it's not just doing things. It's also understanding and hearing the word from Jesus. But at the flip side, we have James. And this is very controversial, but yay. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things that they needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself does not have works is dead. Okay, so 2 weeks ago we were talking about like the roots and fruits. If you remember from Pastor Tina. So she was talking about like, look, she had an example like of one of her daughters, like having like the anxiety because of performance. A lot of us have done that. I have been through that, man. Like, I've been anxious because of like, am I gonna do good in this or not? And then one of the things that I learned and through her message is like, she got connected to the Holy Spirit, which is, look, God is eternal. So that means it's a sustainable source of doing good things. See, the point of this message right here, right now, is like, it's not just like doing things because you have to do it, but it's doing things because you are propelled to do it by the word of God. That's a good thing about like the image of the burning bush from the Old Testament. The burning bush is burning, but in itself it is not getting burned. And that is an example that we should do as like people who actually know and understand and have seen and tasted the goodness of God. Whatever we do has to come from that space, because that means we're powered by that and not by ourselves. Because who here knows that we get tired? Everyone who's been here in Silverbacks, I mean, I've not been there for 5 months, but you know, I do get tired. I get tired when I go there. Like the first 5 minutes, and then I'm tired, and then Ray comes in and she's like, okay, that's for the warm-up. I'm like, yeah. Thanks for the warm-up, but yeah. But that's what we want. That's what God invites us into that relationship that is self-sustaining. Because we don't work by ourselves. We are founded in that foundation that actually upholds us. We don't uphold ourselves. But yeah, anybody familiar with this structure? That is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. It's built on sand. So you're asking me, so is that structure going to fall? No, it's not. You know why? Okay, this is a quick lesson for you guys. See, I'm dressed for the occasion because I'm going to talk about this. See, that sand right there, that's like not good for like construction. But see, what engineers do is they put these piles. So what they first do is like they drill a hole, and then they put in the steel, because whenever you see a structure, it's always a mix of either concrete and steel. Just have to remember that. And so what they do is they actually make a foundation that is not sand. It is still concrete, is still a mixture of stones and rocks, gravel. So basically the Burj Khalifa, the building right there that we see that is still so tall, is essentially still built on rock. It's man-made, but it's still rock because there's still that foundation. And the cool thing about this is like, it doesn't matter where you're planted, man. It doesn't matter where you're planted. You find yourself in sandy places, guess what? God's inviting you to dig deeper then. And dude, like, dig deeper. I was transplanted from my country to a strange place, and everyone's a stranger. There's a testimony in that. You guys remember this scene? 2020 was the start of COVID, and that everybody's foundation shook, man, like for reals. Even pastors, everyone, doesn't matter who you are, because everyone gets sick, and everyone needs to, so, well, not everyone, but I'll talk about that later. So, yeah, but that time, COVID, the thing that happened to me was like the company that I was working on was like, yeah, we don't need that many people, that many draftees. I'm not an engineer, by the way, just to put that out. I'm a draftee. So they essentially fired me, and then my school, my visa as a student, because again, I was a student visa until like 2 months ago. Woo! They took it out. Like they were like, yeah, nah, things are happening internationally. So basically I didn't have any identity. I was not a student. I was not working. I didn't have any income. What else do you, how else do I identify myself as? When someone asks me, hey, so what are you on right now? Are you a citizen? Nah. Are you a resident? Probably. Yeah, but I'm telling you right now that I was legal though, because it was on a bridging visa. For anyone who hears this podcast, please quote that. Thank you. So it was the only thing that was like in my mind that time was like this image of my family. They still wanted me here, but that's not enough. Because at the same time, I can't give them the problems that I was facing, because I was like, yeah, everyone's suffering this right now. I can't add to that to them, because that's not how much I love them. So I was essentially alone. I withdrew myself from society. But then I was thinking, like, this is not healthy, because I knew for a fact that we needed a foundation, and that foundation cannot just be us. And that's something that I learned with my sacred space, with my studying of the word. So what did I do? The craziest thing that anybody could do is go to a class in the middle of COVID. But I graduated, and that's me at the side. See that? Yeah. I'm doing a pose. Because I knew I needed to surround myself with the word. And what's the best thing that you do that to surround yourself with the word is to have it hammered to you by lessons. And that's what this did. But I did not just need a lesson, man, because this was still, video. It was still Zoom. It was still it was not face to face. I needed something else. I needed community, because I was like, I was talking to a screen. In fact, not even talking, I was typing my answers, but I was like listening. That's where these guys came in. Man, that was me at the back there. See that? This is proof that I actually went to Silverbacks. Right there. I needed that. I needed people around me. But like, so practically, the word was very straightforward when it says hears and does the word. It is not enough to actually, like, there is a certain power that happens when you actually hear the word and not just read it. And I think that the beautiful thing about, like, if you have the Bible app with you, there's that play button at the bottom center thing. You can actually play that, and then it reads the Bible to you. And if not, then go, like, we have like podcasts, Pastor Henry and Pastor Nelly, and all guests, this one too, in the future, like, just have that word said, spoken over you, because there's that power of, like, the words being spoken over you. And also, like, yeah, get yourself in the community, because it's also in the word, in Ephesians, okay, Ephesians is by Paul. He's like a New Testament apostle thing. So I remember, like, there were apostles, and then Jesus left, and there was this guy who was murderous, and then he became a Christian because, like, Jesus, yeah, showed himself, and he got blind. Anyway, this is Paul. He's one of the earliest church planters. And then he said, like, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints. Who in here are saints? Yes, guys, just a quick reminder. When you accept Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're actually a saint. It's not just the being canonized. You are, that's how the heart that you have right now, that's why you have to protect it, because it's the heart of Jesus Christ in you right now. You are worthy. I'm just going to tell that to you straight up, right, guys? You are all saints. The question is, are we walking that? For the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves carried out by every wind of doctrine and by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. It's the same image that we have of it being shaken, but this is the promise. Like, if you grow in the knowledge of God and surround yourself with the people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, you won't keep them close and then have your foundations like deeply rooted in Jesus. You won't be tossed to and fro. Also, here's a cool thing. Sorry, I'm getting excited of this. The original words for these five things. So apostles is apostolos, prophet is prophetas, evangelist evangelistas, shepherd is poimenas, and teachers is didaskolos. What does that mean? Apostle is an emissary or messenger. So first thing that pops in your head when you say hear emissary, that's right, war. These guys are built for war against the kingdom of hell. Prophets, they don't just interpret dreams. They're actually interpreters of a divine will. The divine will is always there. They're just given the sight to see that. Evangelists, from evangelio, meaning good news. Evangelista is a bringer of good news. So the good news is already there, guys. They just bring it. Then shepherds, poimenas. Well, you guys, anybody from New Zealand? Yeah, I love that country. There's a lot of sheep there, but they need shepherds. What shepherds do is like they gather the flock and then take care of them. And then teachers, the teacher here, the didaskalos, it's not just teacher. So you know how teachers like teach stuff, like concepts to you? The word actually is instructor, meaning they teach how to do things. Keep that in mind. It's like, and I have this cool, just so you guys know, because again, I'm a builder. This is a house. That is a house. Yes. Remember, we were talking about the word of the Lord being the foundations. What's the next thing? If you're going to build a massive structure or a house like this, the next thing that you actually want to build is the columns. Because the columns are the frameworks. These are the things that get jabbed into the ground where the foundations are. So they're the ones who actually are the skeletons of the structure. These columns, they're the apostles. They're the ones who plant churches. They're the ones who go out there and then like, dude, let's go to war. Yeah, these guys. And then we have the walls. The walls are the things actually keep people in place, teach them how to do stuff, teachers, instructors. Then we have the roof. The roof keeps us from getting wet, the same way that a shepherd or a pastor takes care of the flock inside. We have the windows for the prophets to see what's happening outside. And we have the doors to invite people in. Each and every single one of that, those five things are important in a church. You can have a structure that doesn't have windows, doesn't have evangelists, doesn't have prophets. But another word for that structure is a mausoleum, because it has everything except windows. It's housing dead things. You can have an entire structure without roofs, but then that's also not effective, because everyone gets wet. Every single one is useful. I wanted to reiterate that this is the reason why I loved silverbacks. The thing about the word of the Lord is it's alive and it's breathing. That means in every single stage of your life, in every season of your life, or in any culture that you're in, it will speak to you. Which also means, you cannot actually grasp the entire concept of the Bible and how God works until you actually get around people who don't think like you, who haven't grown up in cultures like you. And you know what's really beautiful about that? It gives us a whole new perspective, an added love. It does not change the way God is to us, but it adds to it. like hearing the testimonies of people who are different from me and how God has been so good to them still. I remember it was in Central, and there was this guy, he was from Congo, and we were praying. Gosh, when he addresses God, he always says, Father. Like, I am in the house of my Father, because the way God has shown himself to this person is as a father first and foremost. I mean, everyone does. But like, for other people, God is also like Jireh, the provider, which is also a different thing. It doesn't destroy the fact that he is a father, but it adds to it. See, God is real and has helped each and every one of us in these communities. And I think it's very important to actually have that those perspectives, because if we only have one perspective, if we're met with a new challenge that is not new to our culture or the way we're living, guess what's going to happen? We're going to fall. People around us are there. Jesus put us in situations where we are around people, not so that we can be strangers to each other, but so we can learn more from each other and be in community. And also, these guys helped me a lot, because like in 2021, I had like something growing on my toe. You guys want to remember that? Like, dude, I was scared as, because my mom died of cancer, right? And then I was like, so what's this growth? Is this cancer? Am I going to die or something? And I didn't want to tell my sisters, because apparently they're also so traumatized with, you know. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do about this? And I asked for help. And I actually wasn't even asking for, I was just asking for, like, pray for me and how I'm going to do this. And then the Silverbacks community gathered around, and like, they raised up to help me, like, pay for that, for the entire surgery. And then Pastor Nelly, like, let me live in his house, because I was healing. A big chunk of my toe is cut off. I mean, it's still working, but, like, you know, it's... Yeah, so I'm just very thankful, because I also remember the times when I didn't have petrol. I just want to honor Robin and Kopa there. Like, sending me, like, money direct. So, like, hey, this is for your petrol, so you can go to Silverbacks. And yeah, community is really important, and it's really beautiful. I think God designed us to be in community. God, before he went to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, first thing he did was call around, like, disciples. And I think that's something that we should learn from. Okay, I started the sermon asking, like, telling you about my testimony about, like, me asking questions and stuff like that. And one of those questions is, like, I know we've been talking about stormproofing stuff, and, like, you know, we could be stormproof. Like, my question was, yeah, but God, why is there storms? Anybody ask that question? Why is there storms? And some people ask the question, like, and are given, like, it hurts my heart, because, like, some people give the answer, like, look, this is a punishment. If you're a father and you love your son or your daughter, would you put him in such bad situations? No, you wouldn't. I don't think God is that way, man. Storms are a thing that's happening in our world, because in my studies, one thing that I found out is, like, in Genesis, everything was good. There's no storms, man. Everything was chill until we broke that pact. The storms that we're experiencing right now is a reality of the brokenness of the world that we live in. And I think it's important we have that word from Matthew, because it identifies the fact, like, look, there are storms out there. There are storms. They are realities, because the world is broken. We broke it. But what God says is his solution is, like, hey, yeah, there are storms, but guess what? If you have me as your foundation, that's not going to scare you, man. In fact, Jesus be like, hey, there's a storm. And then the apostles are like, yeah, there's a storm and we're in the middle of the ocean. We're going to die. Where's Jesus? Oh, Jesus is sleeping. Because that's how he is, man. Jesus overcame storms. It was not a concept for him because he knew that he could command the storms out. That's the same foundation that God invites us into. And like, it breaks my heart because like people are thinking like, oh, because God is bad or like things. No, this is a reality because this is a broken world. But God invites us to that hope. And there are people around us who don't know that hope. Growing up, I asked a lot of questions, and this was one of the questions that I had. And one thing that I really wanted at the bottom of my heart was someone who would walk with me in that. I had anxiety, I had depression, I had questions that I needed answers to, but no one was there. So I encourage you, church, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but there are people out there who don't know that. And I think it's that same, like, it came really late. It came in 2015 with Pastor Nelly. But I think it's that same hope and that same message that helped me not do something bad when my mom passed. Because I already had that hope. It's a very beautiful gift, guys. And it's something that we can share. Because even if we do share it, it doesn't take it away from us. This is the first time or the first time in a long time that you've heard that hope, that foundation that you have. So I encourage you, like, if you do feel that way and then you feel like you need to like renew that spirit, like just brush out, like, and see that the foundation that you still have is Jesus Christ and like know you're for certain, because I'm telling you guys, the Lord does not give something that he just takes away. He's given you that foundation. So, if anybody needs prayer regarding this, there's Pastor Henry, Pastor Helen, Ray, like Levy, Steph. I just want to encourage you and like remind you that God is your foundation and he's never left you. And then if you hang on to that and hang on to the people around you, you're going to weather any storm, man. I assure you that. So, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord Jesus Christ, to know more about who you are, Lord. More importantly, know more about who we are as your sons and your daughters, Lord Jesus. And I just pray for anyone here right now who has forgotten, Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't know yet that you are the firm foundation. You're the only foundation that has never failed, Lord Jesus. Old Testament to New. Old Testament is only just the promise, and the New Testament is only just the fulfillment of the promise. And I thank you that we live in a time where we know that. But again, Lord Jesus Christ, we understand the fact that we are a stiff-necked and forgetful people, and we need to be reminded this all the time. So I just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for the Spirit to lead us to the people who can stand beside us, Lord Jesus, as a reminder, Lord Jesus, to remind us that you never fail, you never have, you never will, and that you see us as really, really, really important, and you really love us. But at the same time, Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us who've forgotten that joy, Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to ignite that joy again, a fire, Lord Jesus, that also ignites the people around them, Lord Jesus, to your hope. Lord, take away anything that is not of you right now. We have been through storms, Lord Jesus Christ, but we know that you are also the God who takes away all of that water and puts in the oil of your Holy Spirit so we can be a light again with your fire. Lord, thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross so that all of this may be realized, so that anything that is not of us, Lord Jesus Christ, that not of your design in us can be taken away, so it can be filled with your blood and your righteousness, so we may walk in your righteousness and your righteousness alone. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.